أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. We have been discussing around this hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, where he had said that whosoever exercises sincerity for 40 mornings, the fountains of wisdom will burst from his soul, his heart, and flow over his tongue. And we have already discussed the multiple levels of Islam and the multiple levels of Iman and faith. And after that, we learned the fact that the mukhlasin and the sincere people are the ones who have been purified by the special tawfiq and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are the ones who are superior than the mukhlisin with the kasra under the lam. Mukhlisin are inferior and mukhlasin are superior, because mukhlasin are the ones who are purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our discussion before the month of Ramadan started has reached this turn point that what I was mentioning to you was the statement of Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai, Bahrul Uloom, that in order to reach the spiritual levels, it is compulsory that a person finds a murabbi, a person who is the personal kind of trainer, you may say, somebody who can personally provide specialized guidance for you and supervise all your activities and make sure that you reach the destination. This kind of spiritual guide, what he says, that even if a person spends half of his life in finding such a murabbi, such a spiritual guide. It is worth it. Worth it because of the very obvious fact that the rest of the half of the life will certainly be led according to the divine teachings, and the person is bound to reach the desired destination and be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah An-Nahl, verse 43, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask those who people of dhikr and remembrance, if you don't know. And our scholars say that this verse of Holy Quran is all inclusive. Every hajat and every need that you may have, we have needs about every stage of our life. We have ahkam and rulings, related to the fitriyat, the knowledges related to the human instinct. We have ahkam and rulings related to the aqliyat, that means the intellectual knowledges related to the human intellect. And we have ahkam and rulings which are related to the shari'iyat, that means things that have been revealed. Sharia is part of the revelation, things which have been revealed in the wahi upon the Messenger of Allah. So ahkam and rulings which are related to the sharia, that means the teachings that have been revealed on the Holy Prophet. In all those three levels, we stand in need of turning to those who know. It's a universal ruling that a jahil should turn to an alim. Whosoever is jahil and ignorant in whatever field of life should turn to the alim, should turn to a person who is knowledgeable about that field of life. Whether it's the knowledges of human fitrat and instinct, whether these are knowledges related to the aql and intellect, whether these are knowledges related to the sharia and knowledge about the sharia which has been revealed in the revelation upon the Prophet. Likewise, we learn in another verse from Surah Maryam, verse 43, where Allah mentions the story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he said, Ya abate inni qad ja'ani min al-ilmi ma lam ya'tika fattabi'ni ahdika siratan sawiyya. When Prophet Ibrahim was talking to his uncle, some of the sects of Islam have interpreted this verse of Holy Quran that Prophet Ibrahim is talking to his own father. We in our 12-year Imami belief system believe that the father of an infallible prophet cannot be a non-Muslim, disbeliever, associating partners with Allah and thus denying the oneness concept of God. A father of an infallible prophet or the deputy of the prophet and Imam cannot be a person who is mushrik, associating partners with Allah, or cannot be a person who is kafir, someone who denies Allah, or cannot be a person who disbelieves in the oneness of God, which is the Tawheed. So this is part of our belief system. It simply cannot happen. It has to be an infallible prophet or deputy or the Imam has to be born to parents which are Tahir and clean spiritually. The father and the mother both need to be Tahir and clean spiritually and purified. Prophet Ibrahim is not actually talking to his father. He's talking to his uncle who was not a Muslim. So that inni qad ja'ani min al-ilmi ma lam ya'tika. There's a knowledge that has reached me which did not reach you. In other words, there's a knowledge which has reached me which did not reach you. Fattabi'ni. So you got to obey me. You got to follow me. Ahdika. So I can guide you, siratan sawiyya. So when he is going to follow the Holy Prophet Abraham, this guidance of Prophet Ibrahim is going to take him to the right and the straight path which he was supposed to tread. Ahlul Dhikr, the people of remembrance, those scholars who are entitled to be called Ahlul Dhikr, are actually the ones whom we are talking about as Murabbi. Like I said in the beginning of my speech, our scholars of spirituality and Islamic morals, they say you require a Murabbi, a spiritual trainer for your spiritual guidance. Those trainers are classified to be Ahlul Dhikr. So Ahlul Dhikr are Murabbi, and they are the ones whom we call in Ilmul Irfan, we call them Alim Billah. Al-Ulama Billah. Alim Billah is the one who is Ahlul Dhikr, and Alim Billah is the one who is Murabbi, and Alim Billah is the one who is superior to a regular Alim who knows the Uloom al-Zahiriyya, the Zahiri Uloom. Knowing the Zahiri Uloom is a hard task, but it is still simple. All it requires is hard work. But knowing the Batini and the hidden knowledges is not only hard, but it requires you to clean your soul. You can learn the Zahiri Uloom. Even the Kafir people can learn the Uloom al-Zahiriyya. They were CIA spies in the Hawza of Najaf, learning the knowledge of Islam, isn't that right? They were spies of Shah, you know, La'anatullahi alayhi, who used to learn the Islamic knowledges in the Hawza, isn't that right? So they were people, and they were spies of Saddam, who were learning the Islamic knowledge in the Hawza of Najaf, isn't that right? So learning process is an open thing. Anybody can go and buy books, go and sit in the gathering, in the lecture of a teacher and learn the zahiri, the apparent knowledges. This is not a big deal. You can do the hard work and you can become a scholar about the apparent knowledges by learning and doing the hard work. But this is not what we are talking about. We are talking about the batini knowledges, the hidden knowledges, which are related to Ahlul Dhikr, which are the ones that make a person murabbi and a spiritual guide, which are the ones that we call those people as al-alim billah, the person, somebody who is knowledge about God. Knowledge about God is the one is never achieved unless you have access to the batin. So lots of people, the zahiri knowledge are not hidden. You know, it's we are not living in the time of caves. Things are already known. You know. Knowledges are no longer hidden. The books are published. The books are translated. The more we get closer to the final days, we find all the issues are becoming clearer and more obvious. And even the enemies are learning about different Islamic sciences and discovering about things, you know, by whatever reasons and agendas they want to discover. But at the end of the day, they are discovering more and more about Islam. You know, whether they want to discover it in order to attack Islam or in order to destroy Islamic value system or whether they want to, for whatever reason. But the knowledges are being discovered and it's learned and it's being translated. You can find the speeches of, you know, Ayatollah Khamenei being translated by some of those TV, internet websites which are run by the Zionists. Isn't that right? But they are doing it for their own sake. Every speech of the leader is available on some of the Zionist websites, openly translated. They are doing it for their own agendas. But it's available. At the end of the day, it's found. It's not hidden. So the Zahiri Uloom can be learned. Now the point I'm trying to make, the Zahiri Uloom, the apparent knowledges of Islam are no longer hidden. This is not what we are talking about. The Zahiri knowledges are getting more and more open, more and more exposed, more and more discovered by the followers of Islam, and some of the knowledges are maybe more discovered by the opposers of Islam for their own political agendas. But this is not what we are talking about. That does not make knowing the zahiri and apparent knowledges does not make you alim billah, does not entitle you to become a murabbi and spiritual guide, does not entitle you to be called Ahlul Dhikr. Fas'alu Ahlul Dhikr in kuntum la ta'lamun. You have to be Ahlul Dhikr. And the Jahil people are commanded to turn to Ahlul Dhikr. Unless the Jahil people turn to Ahlul Dhikr, unless the ignorant people turn to Ahlul Dhikr, they will not be actually guided. Lots of people know, you know, but the point is that as long as we do not have access to a murabbi and a spiritual guide, what happens is that the Sharia is not unknown. I mean, we know what the rulings of the Sharia are, as there is published in the books. We have so many mujtahideen scholars who are teaching us, and books are available. But despite the fact all that knowledge has been publicized, but we still make mistakes. Isn't that right? Every now and then, people do sins, they make mistakes. Just as they remember this famous story of the Holy Prophet, when he said to his ashab, he was with his companions and ashab in a desert, and he said to him, you know, ituni bihatabin, bring the firewood for me. And the ashab and companions replied back, you know, how can we bring any firewood in this barren desert where no pellet, no plantation grows in such a barren desert? But, you know, it was the command of the Prophet, so they got dispersed and here and there on different sides to gather whatever they can find, small, tiny pieces of leaves and plants and, you know, whatever kind of plantations, you know. So they spread out on different directions and try to gather small, tiny plants, whatever. Finally, when they returned back to the Holy Prophet in that barren desert, and they brought whatever they found, and they put in front of the Prophet, it became a huge pile. Despite the fact they were saying, how can we find? It's in such a barren desert, how can we find any plantation? So every action of the Holy Prophet is full of wisdom. So now that the pile of the plantations, plants and leaves and all those things that they gathered, it was piled up in front of him, then the Prophet said, Hakara tajtami'u dhunub. That's the way the sins pile up. We do the sins, we don't realize we are doing sins, because there is nobody to guide us, there is nobody to pinpoint, there is nobody to single out. It's easy for me to pinpoint the sins of others, because Shaitan, our scholars of akhlaq and morality say, Shaitan does not block it. So when you pinpoint the sin of others, it's not going to increase your spirituality. So why would Shaitan block you from doing that? But as soon as you try to pay attention to your own faults and mistakes, that's where Shaitan will certainly block you, because this is going to make him fail in his agenda regarding you. He wants every single human being to disobey God and not to worship. So basically, we know the rulings of the Sharia, generally speaking, you know, we know about that, but we still continue to make mistakes, generally speaking, because of the fact, and the sins keep on piling up, and all of a sudden when a person gets into the grave and he passes away and he is laid into the grave, he finds there's so many sins surrounding him which he never even thought of. If he thought, he may have done the tawbah and repented, but he did not. Why? Because there was no murabbi and spiritual guide to tell him, and the sins kept on piling up. Isn't that right? Look at this hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he is narrating this from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Innahu qala fi laylatil mi'raj. Prophet said on the night of ascension and mi'raj, Prophet said to Allah, Ya Rabbi, that means Prophet said to Allah, Ya Rabbi, ma awwalul ibadah. Prophet asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Laylatul Miraj, Shabi Miraj, night of ascension, Oh my Lord, what's the beginning of ibadat? Or what's the first ibadat? Ma awwalul ibadah. Allah replied, Awwalul ibadate as-samt was-sawm. The first ibadat, or the beginning of ibadat, is silence. Samt means staying silent. Stay quiet. Don't speak. I already discussed that matter in the khutbah of Eid, so I would not elaborate right now. Samt and silence is ibadat in Islam, as long as we keep on focusing and thinking and concentrating about the affairs of Allah and what are we supposed to do towards our Lord. Thinking during the silence is a very superior worship in Islam. So Allah said the first ibadat or the beginning of ibadat is samt, that means silence, was sawm and fasting. Then the Prophet asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, in the occasion of Miraj, this is the conversation taking place. Ya Rabbi, oh my Lord, wama miras as-sawm? Well, what is the miras? What's the outcome? What's the inheritance or the outcome of fasting? You know, if a person fasts, what at the end of the day, what he's going to receive after his fast? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, yurisul hikmah. Fasting provides wisdom. Well, hikmatu turisul ma'rifah. And wisdom provides ma'rifat. That means in-depth recognition and shanah and ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, ma'rifatu turisul yaqeen. And the ma'rifat provides yaqeen and certitude. فَإِذَا إِسْتَيْقَنَ الْعَبْدُ. Lots of people are doing what they are doing, but they don't have certitude in their life, which is one of the biggest blessings of God, biggest metaphysical blessing, to have yaqeen. About everything we believe, we should have yaqeen. Most of the humanity on planet Earth do not have yaqeen in what they believe. And most of the humanity on planet Earth do not have yaqeen in what they do. You know, so Islam Islam is the only religion where there is no room for shak and doubt. Everything that we believe has to be based on certitude. If you don't and you are a Muslim, then you should correct yourself, because that's not what Islam teaches. Islam teaches us everything you believe has to be based on yaqeen, solid concrete evidences which provide you with yaqeen and certitude, and everything you do has to be the same. So fasting provides wisdom. And wisdom provides, in turn, it provides the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition. And wal ma'rifatu turisul yaqeen. So we understand that yaqeen is a later level that is achieved after the ma'rifat. So ma'rifat provides the yaqeen and certitude. فَإِذَا إِسْتَيْقَنَ الْعَبْدُ. Now what's going to happen if a person becomes mutayakkin? He achieves the certitude in his life. Everything that he believes and everything that he performs is based on yaqeen. He has zero doubt in his personality, in his spirituality, in his attributes, in his practice, in his beliefs. There is no room for any doubt. All he believes and all he performs is nothing but certitude and things based on certitude and yaqeen. When a person reaches that level, فَإِذَا إِسْتَيْقَنَ الْعَبْدُ لَا يُبَالِي كَيْفَ أَصْبَحَ. He is not going to care how does he dawn, how does he enters into the morning, كَيْفَ أَصْبَحَ بِعُسْرٍ أَمْ بِيُسْرٍ. Whether he is in the hardship situation, in the tough times, or he is in the easy times, in the usr or in the yusr, he was not going to care. So basically, this is the sign of a person who is Ahlul Yaqeen. And why are you not going to care? Because of the very obvious reason that you see the batin of this dunya. When you reach the level of yaqeen, you have been shown by Allah the batin and hidden reality. You have already gone above the level of ulum zahiriya, the apparent knowledges, and you have reached the stage where Allah Himself has shown you the batin and realities of the knowledges, and you see the reality of this world, this temporary dunya, and that's the reason you get above this world and its hardships or its comforts. You don't care about the hardship, you face hardship or you face comfort, you don't care about that, because you are focusing on akhirat, on the hereafter, and because of the fact you are witnessing the realities of the hereafter, because you are Ahlul Yaqeen. Ahlul Yaqeen are those who witness. They are shahid and witness over the realities of akhirat. So basically we understand that these people who are alim rabbani, those who know the hidden knowledges, are entitled to guide us towards the hidden knowledges. Otherwise, the knowledges of the Sharia have been clearly mentioned by the Holy Prophet, and you know, everybody in the Islamic world is reading the same Surah Al-Fatiha, and so many times, minimum 10 times, we are repeating in the wajib prayers, you know, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, oh my Lord, you know, guide us to the straight path. But we, lots of Muslims are still not on the straight path. Despite the fact we are repeating it over and over again, but we are still not on the straight path. Isn't that right? Only some of the Muslims are on the straight path. God, Prophet has already said, you know, one of the sects is on the straight path. So the Zahiri teachings can never ever ensure you to reach the paradise, unless you have access to the batin, or unless you have access to a murabbi who guides you towards the batin, unless you have access to the special tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to achieve, to cross these stages and to receive the al-hidayatul takwiniyya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is above the level of al-hidayatul tashri'iyya. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in his wasiyat to Kumail, he talks about the similar, he's talking about the same personalities whom we are discussing, those murabbi and spiritual guides and ulama, rabbaniyin, the rabbani scholars that we are talking about. And he makes it very clear in his wasiyat that the path of success is restricted, it's limited to those who learn the knowledge from such scholars. They are the only ones who are successful. This has been made clear in the light of this hadith of Amir Mumin alayhi salam. Allahumma bala la takhlu al-ardu min qa'imin lahi bi hujjatihi. Certainly the earth cannot be surviving without somebody who stands for the sake of Allah with his hujjat and evidence, whether this person is openly there, zahiran mashhuran, imma zahiran mashhuran, aw khaifan masturan, or he is hidden, khaifan masturan ma'muran, li Allah tabtula hujjatullah wa bayyinatuhu, so that the hujjats and evidences of Allah and his evidences do not falsified or cannot be destroyed, in other words. And then he moves forward. It's a long hadith, which I don't want to mention the whole of it, but I will come to that point where he says that hajama bihil ilmu ala haqiqatil basira, knowledge has attacked them with the reality of insight, haqiqat of basirat, wa basharu ruh al yaqeen, and they have direct access to the soul of yaqeen, certitude, wastalanu ma istaw'arahu al muhtarafun wa anasu bima istawhasha minhu al jahilun. And then he says wasahibu dunya bi abdanin. These people are the ones who lived in dunya with their bodies, while and the souls were attached, arwahuhum muallaqatun bil mahall al a'la, souls were attached to the higher level, the souls were attached to that world, the souls had nothing to do with this world, they were living in this world with their bodies only. They had the souls, of course, in their body. What he is trying to say, the soul was not attached. Because when we love the material things and material belongings of this dunya, as if the soul is attached to it. So the souls were never attached to this material world and its belongings. It was attached to the rewards of Allah, attached to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, that's the way it is said, that the person is not living with his soul in this world. The soul is attached with somewhere else. He's living with the body only. And then he says, أُولَٰئِكَ خُلَفَاءُ اللَّهِ فِي أَرْضِهِ وَالدُّعَاتُ إِلَىٰ دِينِهِ. They are the ones who are the Khalifa and vicegerent of Allah on his earth, and the ones who invite the, you know, towards his religion. And then he says, ah, shawqan ila ru'yatihim. How much he, Imam Ali says, how much he is. In other words, how much he is eager and keen to see these people. Imam Ali alayhi salam wishes to see these people. Then we find Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Husayni Tahrani, rahmatullah alayhi, one of a very renowned urafa, talking about this hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and its sharh and interpretation. He says Imam Ali is not talking about the masumeen imams only in this hadith. This hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam is mutlaq and absolute in its value. So it includes all the awliya, all the beloved servants of Allah, all the awliya of Allah, and all the hujjats of Allah, including those awliya and those beloved personalities who are not masoom. So, you know, because some people very hastily say, well, these ahadith are referring to the 12 masoom imams only. So this is something which is beyond our reach. We cannot be like Ahlul Bayt. We have nothing to do. So let's shut it down. No. Our great scholars have already interpreted that this hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam is not referring to the masoom imams only. It's talking about all the awliya of Allah in the mutlaq and absolute form. So when that's the case, then it's something doable for those who are not masoom. It's doable for all of us who are basically not masoom. So we find, and I would end my speech here, that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has said that halaka man laysa lahu hakeemun yurshiduhu, someone who does not have a hakeem person guiding him and doing irshad and nasihat and guidance towards him, got destroyed. So again, you know, it's the special blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the way we avoid reaching a stage where we avoid the situation where we think we are doing very well, we think we are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are stuck with the apparent knowledges only, and we fail to have access to any batin, any hidden reality of those knowledges which we were otherwise supposed to reach. And the reason we fail to reach again is because we fail to have access to any murshid or spiritual guide in our life, whereas the success was only limited by following the alime rabbani, a scholar who is rabbani. That means scholar who is connected with the batin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allah, ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allah, ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin, wakhzul al-Kuffar wa al-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din, wakhzul man khazal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfaz wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin. سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم حقان الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان، واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's read the ayat al-kareema 5 times. Some people have requested, especially the mother of brother Abdul Qadir is in the hospital. She's sick. So let's read the Ayatul Kareema 5 times for her shifa and all the rest of the mu'mineen and mu'minat. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Amman yujibul muftarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muftarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المؤمنين والمؤمنات خاصة هؤلاء المريضة المنظورة بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين